If you can please turn with me in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, we'll read verse 3 and verse 4. A few weeks ago on the Wednesday prayer meeting, we looked at verse 3, and today we want to look at verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The book of Isaiah has often been described as a mini gospel, or the gospel of Isaiah. The reason being, Isaiah writes so much prophecy concerning the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, by his birth, his life, his sufferings, his death, his return, and events after his return. These verses that we have read was given to the children of Judah concerning a future time when they would be taken into Babylonian captivity. It was a word for them to hold on to as they were in Babylon and as they would come out of Babylon, that after 70 years, God would fulfill his purpose with his own people. They would sing once again the Lord's song in the land of Judah, in the city of Jerusalem. God would bring his people once again back to the land before the first coming of Christ. But as there was this word given to them about their return out of Babylon, there certainly, as it is a prophecy, there are words also regarding events concerning the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is God's word to his people. Whether in Isaiah's day, looking forward to both fulfillments, whether the first coming or the second coming of Christ, or to our day now as we look forward to the second coming of Christ, the Lord is to be trusted. The Lord will never fail his people. As we sang, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. You can trust the Lord Jehovah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And as we noted on that Wednesday night, the word perfect peace is the word peace, peace. It is the word meaning shalom, shalom. And there is that double emphasis in the Hebrew to express that this peace is emphatic. This peace is from the Lord. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom. Here is perfect peace. And it's by trusting in the Lord. That's why verse 4 continues. Trust. Verse 4 continues. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The word trust, as you have before you in verse 4, means to rely on, to put confidence in, to lean upon, or to depend upon. It's used of a wrestler's term, meaning to throw upon. And so the illustration or the picture is that one person throws another person on the mat. And then what they do is they put their full weight on that person. And that's what it means. It's to put your whole dependence, your whole trust, your confidence, everything you have on that person. In other words, upon the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your circumstances. Rather, trust in the Lord. Even as you go through operations, and we thank God for the wisdom and skill he's given to doctors and surgeons' hand, yet even that, our trust is not in them. Our trust is still in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This trust is not vain. It's not empty trust. It's not luck. It's not fate. Rather, it's the trust in him who is the true and the living God. I may also say, this trust is not a trust as man does upon his false idols, upon his false philosophies, as in Romans chapter 1, the ungodly trust in all their idols and their images. Rather, Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The Christian's trust is by faith, in which his soul rests in the invisible God. As Moses said in Hebrews, or said of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Or as Peter wrote to God's people in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so when Isaiah speaks of trusting in the Lord, he's not speaking of a vain imagination. Rather, he's speaking about a dependence, a full trust upon the one who is his refuge, the one who is the guardian and the keeper of his soul, the one who will never leave him nor forsake him. As Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29 states, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And the word underneath, it means there's something below to give support. It means there's a solid foundation. And since it's connected to the expression, underneath are the everlasting arms, then the Lord eternally, infinitely, and unchangeably supports and upholds his people. You are upheld. You are supported by your eternal God, your infinite God, your unchanging God. Believers rest. Their trust is in the everlasting arms of their Savior. That means that you can never fall from grace. You can never slip out of his hands. He protects you. He upholds you. He surrounds you. These are the arms of our God in order to uplift and to guide his people. Now, obviously, we know in the Bible, God does not have arms. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We went through this in detail in our study in the doctrine of God. But these are written for our benefit, for our understanding. Just as you think of the women here, not to single them out, but the women as they carry their little children, what are they doing as they carry them? They are supporting them. They are holding them. They are carrying them with their arms. And therefore, that's the illustration to teach us when God carries us, when God helps us, supports us, it speaks of the arms of God in order for our benefit, to help us to understand his grace. Again, you take it, God doesn't have eyes, but the Bible speaks of the eyes of the Lord. The whole point is this, to show us that he sees all. And we could go through much more as we did in great detail. So what precious promises these are that God gave to his people, and a word of application to any generation. Trust in Jehovah, the rock of ages. Trust in him. Notice three simple thoughts. Trust in the Lord's immutability. In the Hebrew reading of these words, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, they actually read, in Jah, Jehovah is the rock of ages, or Jah, Jehovah, the rock of ages. And these words, they tell us much of the person of our God, his characteristics, his attributes, his perfections. They encourage us to trust in him, to put all our dependence upon him. Again, notice the words. The word is in italics. And that means it was not there in the original language, but those of the penmen, in the sense of the scriptures, those who were used by the Lord to put it in English and different things, they put it in there to help the reading flow. But you could read the words, the Lord Jehovah, the rock of ages. And so the translators wanted to help us to put that word is, but really it doesn't need to be there because we can read it, Jehovah, the rock of ages. The term, it tells us about the glorious person of our God. He is the rock of ages, immutable or unchanging. And we see this truth emphasized by his name, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the one who stands above and outside of time. He cannot be changed, nor can he be made to change. He's not impacted or affected by forces from outside of him. There's nothing that can come upon him that can cause him to change. Oh yes, in our life, there's many changes day by day. We change. We're impacted by things around us or things that happen to us, but not our God. He is infinite. We are finite. He's unbounded, unlimited. We are bounded. We are restricted. And so we face and we're impacted by the daily challenges that affect us. But there's nothing that can cause God to change. There's nothing that disturbs him. We might be happy in the morning, but burdened down in the afternoon. The news that we have heard, the situation that we are in, it works upon us. It impacts us, maybe as an individual, or maybe as a family. Our attitudes change, our actions, our atmosphere. We go through a certain thought process that eats upon us the whole day. So those things from outside of us that come upon us, it causes us to change. But there's nothing that can cause God to change. Again, he said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. He said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, I am that I am. And that is the original word for Jehovah. The language reveals the nature of God, one who is self-existent, self-sufficient. It denotes one who is eternal, infinite, and unchanging. One who is the covenant-keeping God. One who makes a promise. One who's able to perform what he said he will do. God's declaring, not only am I what I am at present, but I am what I have been, and I am what I shall be, and I shall be what I am. And this means so much to God's people. As we trust in him, as we rest upon him, trust in Jehovah, trust in the one who is eternal, depend upon the one who is infinite, put all your reliance upon the one who cannot change, trust in him, the covenant-keeping God. Again, Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, whenever the disciples went through the storm that was blowing hard against them, it made impact. They feared, they were distressed. But the Lord came in the midst of the night, walking upon the sea, and had a word for them. Again, I love that verse in Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, believer, whatever trial that you're in individually, whatever difficulty you're going through as a family, whatever burden you have for yourself, your family, an individual, whatever it may be, trust in the Lord. What has come upon you so suddenly this week, even this day? Is it the rent going up? We know on TV we hear all these things about rent going up, bills going up, things going up, and it challenges the people of God, whether it's electricity, whether it's gas, whether it's rent, whether it's petrol, whether it's insurance, all these things. It's a trial. It impacts us. It influences us. But we are to trust in the Lord. You trusted upon him for salvation, to take away your sin. And so you can trust in him through life to meet you in every situation. And therefore here we have to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord's immutability. He cannot change. And therefore every promise he's given you, he still prays for you. He provides for you. He upholds you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cannot change. And that's the word that Isaiah told the people going into Babylon. Through Babylon, 70 years living in a pagan society. Your God does not change. Remember that in Babylon. He will bring you out before the first coming of Messiah. And pointing to the second coming, you will be in the land. The Savior will return in all His glory. But notice secondly, trust in the Lord's immovability. Immovability. Once again, trust in the Lord Jehovah, the rock of ages. You think of a rock. And when you think of a rock, what comes to mind? Sometimes a rock that is high above the waves. A rock that is strong, secure, steadfast, unmovable. Something that is unchanging. You think of rocks that are in the waters and those waves that come crashing up against them. And so our God is one who is immovable. He cannot be moved. Trust in the rock of ages. Just as the waves continually crash against the rock and it remains stable, unmovable. So every storm that we face in life, every wave of adversity, of difficulty that come upon us, you can trust in your God. You can trust in your Jehovah. Every worry, every distress, you can give it to Him and rest upon Him. There is no concern or care that He cannot handle. He is Jehovah, the rock of ages. Oh, it's true. Life's testings and troubles and burdens might cause us to crumble, to move back, to change direction, may take over our thinking, control our emotions. I thought we could handle the situation, but the news that we received, we soon discovered that it was bigger than we imagined. It was out of our control. But then when we come to trust in our God, we realize, while it's out of my control, it's not out of His control. That's why David could say in Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that word overwhelmed, it literally means to turn about. It can mean to faint, to fail, to cover over. And it's used as the waves. You think you go into, if you ever go into the beach, different things like that there, and the waves crash up against you. Maybe it knocks you over. They come so strong, the tide, so force. And that's the idea of these words. When my heart is overwhelmed, the storms of life, the burdens of life, the pressures of life, the worries of life, the concern for my family, whatever it may be, it overwhelms me. Just as the sea comes upon the rock, just as the sea would floor me over, would knock me over, would move me back. So when I'm overwhelmed, it all comes upon me. But at that time, when my heart is sinking, when I'm in great anguish and I don't know what to do, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that phrase, higher than I, it means to lift up. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's above the storms of life. Get me up there for security, for safety. Speaks of a high fort, a place above the flight. And so David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I'm overcome with burdens, lift me up. The idea is this, to be brought up upon high by the Lord. To trust in Him, to depend upon Him. Oh, there's a place where storms cannot reach. There's a place where the winds cannot impact. There's a safe haven. There's a refuge. And David says, well, my heart is overwhelmed, overburdened with the pressures and issues and enemies of life against me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Bring me to my Savior. He's the only one who can intervene. He's the only one who can be my refuge. He's the only one who can deal with my situation. and nothing has changed. He's still the one that can deal with your pressures of life, your burdens, your heartbreaks, your sorrows, whatever it may be. Again, Psalm 62, verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I don't know what the issue of your heart is. The tears, the troubles, the changing trials. And I do know at this time, generally speaking, a lot of God's people are in great distress. I know in this congregation, certainly there's many who are going through times of trial, times of difficulty regarding the various situations of life. But here's a word, Isaiah 60 or 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, in shalom, shalom, whose mind, whose focus, whose thoughts is stayed, is fixed, is concentrated on thee, on the Savior, because he trusteth in thee, he depends upon thee, he rests on thee. And on that basis, trust, depend ye in the Lord, in Jehovah forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In Jehovah, the rock of ages. Trust in him. He is eternal, immutable, unchanging. He will never fail you. He will never disappoint you. He will never let you down. You can trust in your Savior. Trust in him today. Notice finally, and very briefly, trust in the Lord's impregnability. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. When Isaiah speaks of everlasting strength, he speaks of that strength, that power that is ever active on behalf of God's people. It's a power that can never weaken. It's a power that can never lose its strength. It's power from Jehovah, the rock of ages. And it is to that power that we speak of impregnable, unconquerable, indestructible, a strong hold. And that's a glorious fact. Jehovah, the rock of ages himself, cannot be overthrown. He cannot be conquered. He cannot be defeated by our circumstances, by our enemies, by whatever comes to change us, because it doesn't change him. It may cause us fear, it may unstartle us, but it doesn't to him. He is our stronghold. We face situations that we feel may defeat us, may conquer us. We conclude there's no way through because we judge those present situations or that present diagnosis with our finite mind, with our human weakness. And that allows fear and worries to dictate, to cause defeat, to conquer, to conclude the worst. However, God is impregnable, one who's undefeated, unconquerable, one who can never be defeated. He is everlasting strength, eternal power, infinite power, unchanging power. His power will always operate in the lives of his people. And since his power, his strength will never weaken, you can trust in him. Since he can never be defeated or conquered, you can depend upon him. Again, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a word for any believer in times of great trouble, great difficulty. What a word for God's people going into Babylon to trust in the Lord. I don't know what you're going through, what you're about to go through, what you will go through, but the Lord does. And he wants you to know through it, trust in him. Believer, trust in Jehovah, the rock of ages, for in him is everlasting strength. Unsaved one, you must trust in him, because he is able to save your soul. And as he is unchanging, when he forgives sin, he removes sin, he deals with sin. You can trust in Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the one who said, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Believer, keep trusting in him this day, for his name's sake. Amen.